رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. آمین یا رب العالمین. Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you must have understood, this session of our series of Quranic lectures is going to be devoted wholly and solely to the study of two pairs of ayat, of two ayat each. One in Surah As-Saff and the other in Surah At-Tawbah. One of the ayat has been repeated verbatim. No change whatsoever. No difference. Neither of a dot or a jot. The other ayah is also essentially the same. يُرِيدُونَ لَيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ. There's no difference whatsoever. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. Allah is determined to make His light full and complete. It is the positive way of saying the same thing as the negative way is وَيَابَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ. And Allah is not ready to accept but that He will make His light complete. So exactly the same, essentially the same subject has been discussed. Now because these two ayat are very important, number one regarding the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and number two, the historical events that took place from the advent of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wassalam to the time of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from the time of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to this day, and the events that are coming in the near future, which have been prophesied in detail by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first point that I want to make in this connection is that historical events, all of them have an outer and apparent aspect and an inner or hidden aspect. To the viewers, to the humanity at large, to the mankind, the more important is the outer or the apparent aspect. But in reality, the hidden or the inner aspect is more important. What do I mean by that? Although you know the history gives us a very detailed account of very big events, civilizations coming up, going down, empires, big empires, reaching their zenith, then disappearing. But behind this scene, there are certain principles, divine principles, the sunnatullah that is working. And these things, because they are hidden from the eyes of common men, they have been given by the books of Allah, by revelation. And definitely, the prophets of Allah, they had the foresight, they could see them. In addition, we have been seeing people, common people also, not prophets, whom we call the seers, the visionaries. They can also see, at least, if not very far in the future, to the very near in future, they can see what events are coming. The history of the last 3,500 years is, according to the philosophy of history of the Quran, the history of two ummas, two Muslim ummas. The former Muslim ummah, Bani Israel. The present Muslim ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I know of no other ummah. No mention of any other ummah in the Quran. Because before Torah, no law was given to humanity. This is the first law given to humanity. The commandments, the do's and don'ts, the Quranic version of which we have studied, the third and fourth sections of Surah Bani Israel. Before Torah, no law was given. And we know of Hazrat Nuh, Hazrat Hud, Hazrat Saleh. The same story repeated. Messenger was sent. The people, the nation to whom they were sent, by and large, rejected them. Whole nations wiped out. No ummah coming out, coming up. People of Nuh, people of Hud, people of Saleh, people of Shu'aib, the two cities of Sodom and Amura, to which Hazrat Lut was sent, all wiped out. The first book that was revealed, there were, as Quran says, Suhuf-e Ibrahim, but not book. The first book that was revealed is Torah, and it contained law. And on the basis of Torah, that Ummah was founded. Then you know, as I told you in the previous lecture, for 2,000 years, this Ummah occupied the position of the representative of Allah on earth. Books after books coming to them. Prophets after prophets coming to them. The chain of the prophets never broke for even a second for 1300 or 1400 years. Just imagine. This is what Quran says. وَأَنِّي إِنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ I made you superior to the all nations of the world. This chain of prophethood began with two prophets. Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Harun, both of the prophets. And this chain ended again with two prophets. Hazrat Masih or Hazrat Yahya, John the Baptist, the cry from the wilderness, and Jesus of Nazareth. And in between, there is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kanat banu Israel tasusuhum al-anbiya, kullama halaka nabiyun khalafahu nabiyun." The affairs of Bani Israel were always in the hands of the prophets. Whenever a prophet died, another prophet took his place. He succeeded him. So this ummah is present till today, but in a different form that I will discuss later. But 1400 years ago, according to the lunar calendar, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent. The final word of Allah, the final revelation, the final guidance, the total guidance, revealed to him. And then an ummah founded. As we have seen, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Now the history of the 1400 years that have passed after the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the history that is now going to come, the events, it's a tie between these two ummahs. Now I want to go into some details. I quoted one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the previous session. An Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qaal: "Latattabi'unna sunana man kana qablakum shibran bi shibrin wa zira'an bi zira'in. Hatta law dakhalu juhra rabbin latabi'tumuhum." قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّسَارَىٰ قَالَ فَمَنْ رواه البخاري ومسلم رحمهم الله متفق عليه. The highest level of authenticity of any hadith. Prophet said, O Muslim, you will also follow the trait, the path, the steps of Bani Israel, those people who were before you, hand to hand, arm to arm. So much so that if they entered the hole or burrow or den of any lizard, you will also enter it. The reporter said, O Messenger of Allah, do you mean the Jews and the Christians? He replied, who else? This is one aspect. All the mistakes committed by them, moral, legal, individual, collective, all the wrong notions that they had, all the wishful thinking that they concocted and invented, you can find in this Ummah. Everything. The same idea. We are Muslims. Our salvation is reserved and sure. Jo kuch bhi hai, lekin tere mehboob ki ummat mein hai. Hence, we have a birthright to Jannah. The same thing. Al-ummatul marhuma. We are the blessed ummah. If we look to our conditions, we are the wretched ummah. The most wicked ummah. But still we are harboring the same. We are the blessed ummah. All those things. Only one thing we couldn't do. We couldn't corrupt or make any change in the text of the Quran. And that was because Allah took it upon Himself to protect it. We changed the meanings of the Quran. The concept of the Quran. خود بدلتے نہیں قرآن کو بدل دیتے ہیں وہ کس درجہ فقیحان حرم بے توفیق. You have done it. So that was the one aspect of this story. The other aspect that concerns more with the subject of my talk at this time. This is from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضی اللہ عنہما. Abdullah the son of Amr ibn al-As, the conqueror of Egypt and the governor of Egypt for a long time. Abdullah says, رضي الله عنه, the Prophet said, لَيَاتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي مَا أَتَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ حَزْمَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ. رواه الترمذي رحمه الله. On my ummah also the same conditions will befall exactly which befell the former Muslim ummah Bani Israel. Just as two shoes of a pair are like each other, similar to each other. This is the simile. Look to the literary beauty. When a pair of shoes is placed on this ground, you are looking from above, they are different. The directions are different according to the direction of the toes. But if you take the two soles together, they are congruent, so to say. No difference. Because there is a difference of time. There are apparent differences. But if you have the ability to see between the lines, you will find same story reported, repeated, exactly as a carbon copy. Now let me give you the details. It was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the very Torah. A warning was given to the former Muslim Ummah that in your history, during your history, you will make mischief, you will go astray. Twice. And our worst punishment will come to you. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًّا كَبِيرًا فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. History of 2000 years of the former Muslim Ummah summed up in 4 ayat of the first section of Surah Bani Israel. What were those 4 periods? One period of rise, zenith, respect, honor, power, strength. Then a downfall. Moral downfall. Religious downfall. And worse punishment at the hands of people, other nations. Then a revival. A resurrection, so to say. A renewal of faith. Again glory, again blessing, again strength, power, then again a downfall, and again mauled at the hands of enemies, put to shame, humiliation. Now count. Their fourth period of glory is the 100 years of Hazrat Talut, Hazrat Dawood, Hazrat Sulaiman, alayhim as-salam. Glory, power, strength, very big kingdom. They were the superpower of this whole area at that time. Especially Hazrat Sulaiman, alayhi as-salam. Then came the downfall. The reason of the downfall? Main tujhko batata hu taqdeer-e-umam kya hai. Shamshir o sana awwal taus o rubab aakhir. Then the Muslims, the so-called Muslims, become used to luxuries, comforts, worldly lusts, forget Allah, start deceiving Allah, not fulfilling the commandments that Allah gave, throwing back the book of Allah. نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Then punishment came. And this punishment, please note, came in 2 phases. Firstly, the northern Jewish empire was finished at the hands of the Assyrians. And later on, the bigger and the southern empire was wiped off by Nebuchadnezzar the Babylonian, king of Iraq. He destroyed the whole city of Jerusalem. Just imagine. 700 years before Christ, the population of Jerusalem was 1.2 million. 1,200,000 people. What a city. The big temple of Solomon raised to ground. Torah vanished. The box which contained the stone slates on which Torah was written vanished. From that day, they don't have it. Kitabut al-Sakina, which had the staff of Moses and Torah, lost them. He killed 600,000 people, Nebuchadnezzar, Jews, 600,000, and took another 600,000 to Babylonia as captives. The whole city of Jerusalem had not a single soul, and not 2 bricks were there intact. That was the devastation, that was the punishment that came to these people who thought they were the beloveds of Allah. As I told you in the previous session, فَلِمَا يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. If you have been so beloved to Allah, why have He been punishing you? But then a revival, a renaissance. Hazrat Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam appears on the scene, calls the Jews to repent, make tawbah towards Allah, return towards Allah. Then there was a new life. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Again a period of zenith. The Maccabi power, the Maccabi empire of the Jews, which was greater in boundaries, ground limits, then the empire of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. That was their second period of zenith and glory. Again the same downfall. Again the same decadence. And now they were first of all mauled at the hands of Greeks. Alexander the Great, 300 years before Jesus, mauled them. They were governed by the Greeks. Later on, at the hands of the Romans. And please note, in the year 70 of AD, Christian era, again the temple of Solomon was there, because it was rebuilt. When they had returned, you know, in the days of Hosea alayhi salatu wassalam, when they returned from Babylonia, captivity of Babylonia, they built their temple again. But for the second time, the temple was razed to the ground. And it is lying razed to the ground till this date. Keep these basic facts of that Muslim Ummah in mind. Their second phase of the degradation and fall that is continuing, that continued till the beginning of this century. Diaspora, during the first downfall, they went to one country, Babylonia. They were all there. That is why they call it the period of captivity. They were slaves in Babylonia, in Iraq. But after the second downfall, after the year 70, for the second time, temple raised to the ground. 133,000 of Jews killed in one day by Titus, the Roman general. And they were turned out from Jerusalem, not allowed to enter. This period they call the period of diaspora. And during this period of diaspora, they were hated by every nation. Wherever they went, they were hated. Although their intriguing, you know, methods, they could gather money, but not respect, not honor, not a single inch of land under their feet, which they could call, it is ours. This they call the diaspora. And during this diaspora, the worst punishment that came to them was at the hands of Hitler, about which they say that 6 million of them were massacred. Some say it's exaggeration, they were 4 million only, but it was 4 million is also a very big figure. 400,000 people. Now come to the Muslim Ummah. Our period of glory started with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kingdom established, kingdom of heaven on earth established in the Arabian Peninsula. During the past caliphate is extended east, west, north. A very big chunk of the globe under the Muslim caliphate. After the caliphate, pious caliphate, the Khilafat al-Rashida, although Islam started declining, but Muslims were not declining. The Arabs, they became the imperialist power on earth. And for 400 years, they had the glory, the strength, the honor, the sciences, the philosophy, knowledge, power, everything. This is their first phase of the Muslims. I am not talking of Islam. Now it is the story of the Muslims, of the Ummah, not Islam. Islam from the time when the pious caliphate came to an end, it went down and down and down and down and down and down, continuously. But the Muslims, they went up for 400 years, going up. But then came the first downfall. How closely resembling the history of Bani Israel. First of all, at the hands of the Crusaders, Jerusalem desecrated, Muslim massacre, all the cities of the Mediterranean coast taken by the Christians. Hundreds and thousands of Muslims massacred at the hands of the Crusaders. And then the second onslaught came from the east. Just as to them it had come from the east, from Iraq. Now farther from Iraq, it came from Tatars. The empire of Khwarazmshah gone, Iran gone, Afghanistan gone, trampled, massacred, Iraq. Till in the year 1258, last caliph of the Abbasid family, dragged out of his palace, wrapped in an animal skin, trampled under the feet of the horses of the Tatars. Crores of Muslims massacred. Please remember. Then there was just carbon copy of the same. The Renaissance. But the difference here is that the Renaissance didn't appear among the Arabs. The Arabs, so to say, the leadership of the Muslim Ummah was taken from them and it never returned to their hands after that. Snapped away. The ayah in the end of Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. We have given you a very high position. Muhammad is from amongst you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In your language we have revealed our final book, final word. But if you turn back to this mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we shall renew you and bring some other nation in your place. إِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. And this is actually what happened. The Tatars killed crores of Muslims, conquered many countries of the Muslims, but then they were conquered by the Islam. They accepted Islam. And the second rise of the Muslim Ummah is under the leadership of the Turks. Turkan-e-Taimuri in India, Turkan-e-Safavi in Iran, Turkan-e-Saljuki in Middle East, Turkan-e-Usmani in the Asia Minor, and from Asia Minor to what a big chunk of Eastern Europe and the whole of the Northern Africa, the great Ottoman Empire, for 400 years again, vanished, power, strength, glory, everything. But then the fourth step, again the downfall. And as the second downfall to the Jews came at the hands of European powers, the Greeks and the Romans, in the same way exactly, the second downfall of the Muslim Ummah came at the hands of the European colonial powers. The Britishers, the French, the Italians, the Dutch, starting from Java and Sumatra, slowly and slowly, India, then you know, in the beginning of the century, great Ottoman Empire disappeared from the surface of the earth, or at least from the map of the world. History repeating. Now please come to the 20th century. But before we come to the 20th century and its unique position in this history, note one point. During this period, a third Ummah was created. It is a detachment from the Jews, the Christians. There were a sect of the Jews in the time of Jesus of Nazareth. Dr. Michael Hart has written it, and written it very correctly. Till the time Jesus was present in this world, his followers were nothing more than a sect of the Jews. Or you may say, some other people who believed in other prophets, but they claim they are Muslims. In the same way. But this, you know, third force which has been created, which is neither, it neither belongs to the former Muslim Ummah nor to the present Muslim Ummah. Why not in the former Muslim Ummah? It doesn't believe in the law. They change their name from Masih, only person. They don't believe in the law of Moses. There can be no Ummah without a law. Law was abrogated. So they don't constitute a part of the former Muslim Ummah. Nor they are a part of the present Muslim Ummah. They didn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the third force. And during the last 2000 years, this is the instrument with which Allah has been punishing both these ummahs. Instrument of punishment. To the Jews as well as the Muslims. As the divine punishment came to the former Muslim ummah at the hands of the Babylonians or the Assyrians. Basna alaykum ibadallana uli basin shadidin fajasu khilal ad-diyar wa kana ba'dan mafrula.
at the hands of the Romans, at the hands of the Greeks. It came to us at the hands of these nations, but they are all Christians. During these 2,000 years, the punishment to both these ummahs is coming, has been coming, I should say, not is. Is has changed now. And I am coming to that change. It has been coming at the hands of the Christians. Now come to the 20th century of Christian era. It's a very unique period of human history. There's no parallel in the whole human history. You go and read the whole human history, world history, such a profound century in which such big events took place. There's no parallel. Two great powers, two great wars, world war. How much havoc was played? Destruction. Countries devastated. Crores killed. Number two, two great empires vanished in the early part of this 20th century. Great Ottoman Empire vanished from the map of the world. The last part, the great Soviet Union, just vanished. After some years, you know, the students will feel it difficult to find where on the map this great superpower on earth used to be. That's the change. They will have to refer to some old atlases. Now, from my point of view, these are two examples. I have told you, the most profound century of the human history. But from the point of view of my discussion, in this century, the second downfall of both the ummahs reached its lowest zenith also. But then, a third upward movement of the both ummahs started in this very century. And there is going to be a clash indeed between these two ummahs. And that is going to decide the fate of this world. The former Muslim Ummah, Bani Israel, on the one hand, the lowest ebb was their persecution in Germany and Poland and so on. Special plans designed to exterminate them. From one side, people entering gas chambers, dying. Then they are going on beds, just like in factories. Taken on belts, butchered somewhere, then treated with some chemicals. Nothing left, no bone, no flesh, nothing of the sort, no hair. Only a foul-smelling black liquid coming out of the other side of the plant, which they used as a manure, as a fertilizer for their fields. They didn't want to spend any money on the disposal of the dead bodies. To dig the graves for such a great number of people. This is the Holocaust. But at the same time you found, 1897, elders of the Zionists met, carved out a plan. Only after 20 years, they could expect the declaration from Balfour that they have a right to settle in Palestine. That the change of the tide. 1948, Israel established. First war between Arab and Israel. Israel got more occupation. After about 20 years again, 1967, the Six-Day War, Israel expanded, Jerusalem taken. And to cut a long story short, after the Gulf War, all Arabs put to the maximum humiliation before Israel. They never wished to talk to Israel. Now they had to sit with Israel on one table in Madrid, their graveyard. 1992 is the year of Spain. Why? because 1592 was the year of the fall of Granada. The washing off of the Iberian Peninsula of Muslim souls and Muslim culture completed. 500 years later, 1992 became the year of Spain. World Olympics held there. And the peace talks between Israel and Arabs started from there. And now you know what is happening. Internally they have recognized. They are talking to them. When they are talking to them, means everything behind them. They had their Treaty of Hudaybiyah, they have already had it. The great history of Hudaybiyah, they have had it. Now this is the rise of the former Muslim Ummah. At the same time, the rise started of the present Muslim Ummah. After the First World War, that was the lowest ebb. When great Ottoman Empire vanished, and the great kingdom, one historian has written, it will go down in history that the great empire built by Omar the Great was torn into pieces by a British colonel, Lawrence. He instigated the Arabs to stand in revolt against the Turks. Otherwise, great Ottoman Empire was still, although it was the sick man of Europe, but it was still that day very strong for the Europeans. Had not been there the Arab revolt, the Ottoman Empire would not have vanished from the map of the world. One colonel, and he brought about that miracle. So actually, at that moment, I recall a hadith the Prophet said once, Yusiku antada alaykum al-umam. A time will come, I fear, when the nations of the world will invite each other on you. Just as a person who has prepared a feast, after, you know, putting the meals on the table, he invites people to come. In the same way, nations of the world will call each other on you. The Sahaba were astonished. And they asked, أَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَيْدٍ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ O Prophet of Allah, will on that time, in that time, we shall be reduced in very much in number? That this fate will come to us? He said, no. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَيْدٍ كَثِيرٍ You'll be great in number. As we boast, we are more than 1 billion today. وَلَكِنَّ فِيكُمْ وَهْنٌ A disease will appear in you. Spread in you. It is called Wahan. Wow, ha, noon. Then he was asked, Mal Wahnu ya Rasulullah? And he replied, Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Love of this world and fear of death. When this will spread in you, this virus will eat you up from within. And you will become an easy prey for your enemies, for the nations of the world. Now, but after that time, an uprising is there, upward movement is there. All the Muslim countries, so to say, gained independence. At least halfway. Now they are not ruled directly, controlled indirectly by remote control, but not ruled directly. Then there are the movements, revivalist movements. In some countries they have just vanished, seems that they have vanished. Masluri, there doesn't appear on the surface at least any remnant. Jamaat-e-Islami of Indian subcontinent, Tablighi Jamaat of Indian subcontinent, two contemporary movements starting at the same time. Very different from each other. Rather on the opposite poles. One representing the traditional and madhab concept of Islam. The other pursuing the revolutionary and deen aspect of Islam. But they started at the same time. They are the Al-Ikhwan in the Arab world. The same revivalist. This fervor is there. And now what is going to happen is, please note, the saddest part is yet to come. this revival of the Jews. Now they have a country of their own. They are the masters of the area, of the region. The only difference is, and the only breathing time that we Muslims, and especially the Arabs, are having, is due to a dispute within themselves. The secular Jews, they want that only an economic region should be constituted of this Arab world. Capital of the Arabs, oil of the Arabs, workers from the Arabs, science, technology, know-how, management, ours. And we shall reap the fruit. We shall reap the harvest. Why to go in for a formal occupation and formal government? Why to establish the greater Israel? What for? You need money. You need profits. What else do you want? If you can control this region, forging it into one economic unit, the whole Arab world, leaving aside only the most western part of northern Africa, this Middle East which we call, becomes the one economic unit, just as the European Common Market region. But we are the people who have the know-how, technology, science, management. Who are they? They are workers. But they have the black gold. They are the owners, so to say, of this region. So we should have a practical, pragmatic approach. And we shouldn't try to establish the kingdom, the greater Israel. While now, the practicing and the fundamental Jews, they are becoming impatient. Dreaming of the days which were prophesied, that a Messiah will come to you and he will take for you the whole kingdom of Solomon, the greater Israel, all the land between Nile and Euphrates. That is ours. We have to establish that greater Israel. This is a dispute in between them. And one thing seems to be common, as far as I can see. Maybe I'm mistaken. They are agreed on one point. And that is why they have kept Jerusalem separate from this peace talks and peace negotiations. Nothing doing. Jerusalem is ours. Take Jericho. A semi-self-rule in Jericho. Take semi-self-rule in Gaza. Don't mention Jerusalem. It's ours. And very soon it seems that they have agreed that they will demolish Masjid al-Aqsa and rebuild their temple. I wanted to bring with me the map, you know, that the architects in Israel have prepared. And, you know, that is now published. This is going to be the temple. What will happen? Reaction in the Arab world. Especially the youth. The spirited youth, the fundamentalists, they are very much in number. In Egypt, in Algiers, in Saudi Arabia, they are very much in number. The fallout from the Afghan jihad, it is there throughout the Arab world. Then they will be massacred, firstly by their own rulers, who are the stooges of imperialism, the new world imperialism, under the name of New World Order. And then by the Christians and the Jews. And that is actually what I am saying about the events that are to come now. Very big wars about which you will find full chapters in the collections of Ahadith. Kitabul Malahim. Malhama. Malhama, you know. If you have visited any Arab country, it's the butcher shop. Their meat is cut into pieces. Malhama. Malahim. Then human bodies will be chopped like anything. And the Al-Malhamatul Uzma, the biggest war of the human history, about which Bible also prophesied. In the last chapter of this Bible, in the Revelation, it is called Armageddon. And in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's called Al-Malhamatul Usma. Between Christians and Muslims first, the war that started in Bosnia is to spread. It's not an isolated event. And the Gulf War is definitely Ummul Maharib, the mother of the war, Malahim. Then you know at one place, someone will appear on the scene, a Jew, who will say, I am the Messiah. No, nothing doing, we have to establish our great life. Then there will emerge from the Arab blood also, a leader who has been named Mahdi in Hadith. But there is a difference in Mahdi in which the Shiites believe and the Mahdi about which our Ahadith have prophesied. According to their Aqidah, it is their 12th Imam who is in hiding. For the last 1200 years, he is in hiding. He will appear. And what we believe is that when this turmoil will begin and when it will be at its zenith, this process will throw up a personality, a leader, and he will lead the Muslims against the Christians first and the Jews later on. And then Hazrat Masih alayhi salam will descend. And at his hands, actually, that Dajjal al-Akbar, al-Masih al-Dajjal will be massacred. And then the system of caliphate will be established. So these are the evils. But please note, let me quote here two ahadiths. Rather three. Number one, it is from Al-Numan ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And it has been included by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad. The Prophet counted five periods from his time till the ending of this world. تَكُونُ النَّبُوَّةُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونُ. Nabuwah will remain with you so long as Allah wants it to remain. That is, I will remain with you. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ يَرْفَعُهَا. Then Allah will lift it. That is, I will die. Second period, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةً عَلَىٰ مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. Then there will be a caliphate in the footsteps of Nabuwah. Exactly on the pattern. The system will be the same, exactly the same. فَتَكُونُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونُ. It will also continue as long as Allah wants it to continue. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ يَرْفَعُهَا. Then Allah will lift it away also. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا عَظًّا. Then there will be a period of kingdom, cruel kingdom. عَظًّا يَعُدُّ biting kingdom. The kingdom of the Muslim monarchs, the Umayyads, and the Abbasids, and the Mughals, and the Swan, and the Ottomans, then the Muslims. Then the fourth period. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا جَبْرِيًّا. Kinship with slavery. That was the fourth period. That has half ended. Direct rule gone, indirect control remains. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ, he said, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةً عَلَىٰ مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. Then again a period of خِلَافَةً عَلَىٰ مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ will come in the sun. And the Ravi says, ثُمَّ سَقَتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰهِ. After that, the Prophet remained quiet, kept quiet. That will be the end. That will be the zenith of this world. Second hadith, it is from Hazrat Saban radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it is included in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. The Prophet says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَالِيَ اللَّهُ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala folded whole of the earth for me, فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا, so that I saw all the east of the earth and all the west of the earth. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْكُهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. And take it from me that the rule of my ummah will extend over all the regions of the earth which were shown to me. It will be global in extent. Third hadith from Hazrat al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Reported by Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. The Prophet said, لا يبقى على ظهر الارض بيت وبر ولا بدر الا ادخله الله كلمة الاسلام بعز عزيز وذل ذليل. اما يعزهم الله تعالى فيجعلوه من اهلها واما يذلهم فيدينون لها. يقول الراوي فقلت ويكون الدين كله لله. I am translating it hurriedly. The Prophet said, there will not remain even a single home, house on earth, nor a single tent in which Islam will not enter. But this entry of Islam into every tent and every home will be in either of the two ways. Either the owner of the house will accept Islam, and Islam will enter his home, honoring him also. Or if he remains Hindu or Parsi or something else, he will have to accept the domination of Islam. يُوْتُ الْجِزْيَةَ يَدِمْ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. To present jizya with their own hands and behave as small. This is going to happen. Then Hazrat al-Miqdad said, then I said in my heart, said to myself, وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. Oh, then that ayah of Surah Al-Anfal will appear in its full zenith, that the deen will become totally for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole earth will shine with the light of Islam. This is actually what these ayahs are saying. يُرِيدُونَ لَيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. And because, don't think that this ayah, ayah number 9 of Surah As-Saff, it was fulfilled in the days of the Prophet. Although it was fulfilled, the deen of Allah became dominant, but only in the Arabian Peninsula. And Muhammad was not sent for the Arabian Peninsula, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nor was he sent for any Arab nation. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Actually, his mission will be accomplished fully when this deenul haq becomes dominant over the whole of the globe. And this is what these ahadith are foretelling. It will happen. And then the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be accomplished fully. But there are two ahadith more. This final annihilation of Jews at the hands of Hazrat Masih, Hazrat Mahdi and Muslims, final extermination. They will be exterminated. That this upward movement of their history is just like a candle. Before extinguishing, it bursts into light once. Glow, last glow of the extinguishing candle. This is the last glow. And actually this greater Israel would become their greater graveyard. And it has been established to drag all the Israelis from all the corners of the world to their graveyard. And here they will perish. But before that, great punishment will come to Muslims at the hands of the Jews. And the worst of it will come to the Arabs. They are the biggest criminals on the surface of the earth regarding Islam. Because in their language, Quran is still present. We have to learn a language to understand Arabic, Quran. And it's their own language. Muhammad belonged to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This we shall discuss fully in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. That's the next lesson. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. And then they have turned away from Quran. Even after getting independence, one after the other country. In no country Islam was promulgated or enforced. None of them. But they are the biggest criminals. Although number two criminals are we Pakistanis. We established a country in the name of Islam. And even, you know, after nearly half a century, no trace of Islam there. Rather receding, going to the background, fading in the background, day by day. So turmoil is going to come. I spoke on this issue in my last visit. There's a tape, turmoil of the Muslim Ummah. I only wanted to record these two ayats. They are very important. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. These two ayats should be understood fully. And actually, the two ahadiths tell, it appears that first of all, before the emergence of Mahdi and the coming down of Hazrat Masih, in some eastern country, Islamic state will be established. Because the Prophet has said, this is an hadith from Sunan ibn Majah, and Abdullah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu. يَخْرُجُ نَاسٌ مِنَ الْمَسْرِقِ يُوَتِّعُونَ لِلْمَهْدِي يَلِ سُلْطَانِهِ. Ahadis will come from the east who will help Mahdi to establish that caliphate. So where from will those ahadis come? From the east? And their second hadith is, that is from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and reported by Tirmidhi rahimahullah. يخرج من خراسان رايات سور لا يردها شيء حتى تنسبا بإيليا. From Khurasan, black flags will emerge. And they will advance. No power on earth will be able to return them, send them back, till they will fix, they will be fixed, erected in Eliya, Jerusalem. And Khurasan was the name of the country, which today we know as Afghanistan, and part of Turkestan, a very small chunk of Iran, and a some part of Pakistan. On the basis of these two ahadiths, I hope that this caliphate, this Islamic state will be established first there, and from there the help will come, and from Middle East and again, this will extend to the whole of the globe on this earth. I want to quote for those brothers who know Urdu, a few couplets from Iqbal. Aasma hoga sahar ke noor se aina posh, aur zulmat raat ki seema pa ho jayegi. Phir dilon ko yaad aa jayega paigham e sujood, phir jab hi khaake haram se aashna ho jayegi. Aankh jo kuch dekhti hai lab pe aa sakta nahi, main hairat hoon ki duniya kya se kya ho jayegi. شب گریزہ ہوگی آخر جلوہ خورشید سے، یہ چمن معمور ہوگا نغمہ توحید سے. That we have to guard up our lines. We have to stand up and work for that. That is why now I don't have any time. Go and read the ayat of the second section of this surah. یا ایوہ الذین آمنوا حل ادلکم علی تجارت تنجیکم من عذاب علیم. اقول قولی ھذا واستغفر اللہ لی ولکم ولسائر المسلمین والمسلمات.